This morning's scripture reading can be found in your pew Bible in 8:14. I will be reading from the NIV, and it is John 6:25-35. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures the eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they ask him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they ask him, "What sign then will you give that we may see and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of the God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And so as I was thinking about these words of Jesus sharing that he's the bread of life for all the world, there was this passage of scripture that kept swirling in my mind over and over again this week as I thought about the word that God would lay upon my heart. And that scripture is from Psalm number 34, verses 4 through 8, which say this: "I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. The poor man is called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." I think that last verse most especially is what really sticks out to me. That the psalmist writes, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." So I thought about those words, and I wondered why the psalmist would write that we are to taste and see that the Lord is good. What does that mean? Why would this metaphor be one that we would use? Why are we to taste and see that the Lord is good? And so upon arriving back from South Korea this past Wednesday, there are a lot of experiences that have flooded my mind. A lot of great things that have happened that really intrigued me, and I'm going to share a whole lot more about that next week. But there was one intriguing thing that I experienced about Korean culture that I want to share with you today that I think is pretty different from American culture. In American culture, more often than not, whenever we go out to eat and we order something, that food is ours, right? We go out, and if we order a steak and a baked potato and green beans, then that's what we get. We get steak and baked potato and green beans, and that's your food. That's your plate, right? You're the only person who's going to eat that unless your spouse wants to come and doesn't like what they have and tries to eat your food instead. Does that ever happen to you? All right. Okay. I'm not the only one. But it's interesting about that fact in American culture that when you eat something, it's yours individually. And most of the time, from our experience, whenever we go out to eat, particularly if you're eating fast food and if you're going through a drive-thru, the main purpose of that is just to sustain your body, right? You go out, you eat that, you consume it, and you go about your business. Eating is just a means to an end, to nourish and sustain your body. But it's fascinating that in Korean culture, this is not the case. The way that it works in Korean culture whenever you eat is that you get a little itty-bitty plate for yourself, and each one of you gets an empty plate. And then there'll be a great big plate of food in the middle. And there might be some sides that go along with that, but all of those are for the whole table. And so what you have to do is that you go and you take your own part of that communal food, and then you eat it. And so in Korean culture, it's really hard to go out and eat by yourself, because most of the time when you order, it's enough for several people to eat, and it's for an important reason. It's because eating is a communal experience. It's an experience of something that people do together to bond as a family, to show love to one another, to show affection, to build relationships with each other. That food is consumed not only to sustain our bodies, but also to build relationships with other people. You know, I think in some small degree, food plays a similar role in the United States. That food is also an expression of love that we have for other people, isn't it? You know, whenever we're expecting guests, particularly guests that we really love and care about, one thing that we do is that we try to provide a meal for them. It might be the best that we have to offer, some of the greatest things that we like to cook. I know that when I arrived back from Korea on Wednesday evening, my mom and dad rushed over to see me. I think, first of all, because they wanted to make sure that I was alive and that I wasn't just telling them through text that I was there and fine. But they came there to see me, and my mom brought me stuffed peppers, she brought me goulash, and she brought me soup. And those are three of my favorite things. And there are also things that Amber doesn't especially like, but I love, and so I'm getting to enjoy them this weekend. But I think it's funny, and it's a special thing that food, in my experience, was a sign of love. My mom loved me enough to make some of my favorite dishes. And I think that's a special thing about a meal. A special thing about food is that it is a sign of love and of expression and of a relationship. And so I think about the experiences that we have with God and how God expresses his love for us. And I would say that food plays a huge part in that too. And so to understand our scripture lesson today from John chapter 6 in verse 26, I also think it's important for us to go to the very beginning of John chapter 6. And so if you're following along in your Bibles this morning, then you're going to want to go to the very beginning of John chapter 6. Because I'm going to share with you another story about God's love being expressed through food. So listen to this, starting in John chapter 6 and verse 1. It says, "Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miracle he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up to the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?'" And so here we have a great throng of people that have gathered. Jesus has been performing miracles of healing. People are wanting to sit at Jesus' feet and to learn from him, to receive healing from him, to receive blessing from him. And so throngs and throngs of people have gathered together. And so Jesus, the loving and kind man that he is, the Son of God that he is, wants to express love through feeding this group of 5,000 people. And so Jesus, I think, it tells us in the scripture here that he already knows what he's going to do. But he's kind of, I think, pulling Philip's leg just a little bit here. And he's asking him some questions. And so Jesus asks Philip and he says, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" And so why does Jesus ask this? Because in verse 6 it says, he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. But Philip took Jesus literally, and so he asked, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one of these people to have a bite." So it wouldn't have been enough for the disciples to just pool all their money together. They would have had to go all over town to pool enough money to be able to feed 5,000 people. Even for them to have just a mere morsel of food, they would need that much money in order to do it. And so they looked around to try and figure out what in the world they were going to do. And so Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, in verse 9, says this. It says, "Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many? And so to me, I wonder why this was even worth mentioning, that this boy had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. That wouldn't even be a mere morsel. It wouldn't even be enough to taste, right? It'd be like going to Sam's Club and there only being one place to get a sample. You want to go around the whole store and get enough to eat, right? Yeah. But here, this wouldn't even be a sample. 5 loaves and 2 fish for 5,000 people. But Jesus had a plan. In verse 10, it says, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 people were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. And when they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, and let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them, and they filled 12 baskets with pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. And so Jesus was able to feed 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. How amazing is that? And not only was he able to feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, but there were actually 12 baskets of bread left over. That is without a doubt a miracle. And an amazing thing that Jesus, the Son of God, provided. And so it's so fascinating to me when you look at the breadth of the Bible, just how many of Jesus' miracles have something to do with hospitality. From turning water into wine, to feeding 5,000 people, to the conversion of the Samaritan woman at the well, to healing a centurion's son, everything was about drawing the circle wider and recognizing that the kingdom of God is available to all of us. That Jesus' ministry was not about exclusion, but it was about exactly the opposite. His ministry was about opening wide the doors of the kingdom of God. Because food at its best is not just about nourishing our body, but it's about hospitality and love. And so this food, this feeding of the 5,000, represents God's love being poured out for us. And this scripture lesson that we share in today helps us to understand this truth. And so this throng of 5,000 people experienced this miracle, and they all ate until they were full. And so the crowds pressed upon Jesus, and they asked him. And they said in verse 25, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." You know, it's fascinating to me that this, I think, harkens back to the Samaritan woman at the well, who went to receive water to quench her thirst, but Jesus expresses to the woman that he is to give her the living water. The living water that never ceases to quench our thirst. The living water that will feed us and nourish us spiritually. And so now Jesus extends this metaphor even more as he talks about the bread. Receiving the bread of life, that which Jesus is. And so they ask, what must we do to the work that God requires of us? And Jesus answers, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." And so the question is, how do we receive the living water? How do we receive the bread of life? Well, the answer to that is all we have to do is that we have to believe. We have to confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then we will be saved. Then we will receive this gift of eternal life, this living water, this bread of Christ. Verse 30 inquires further, and it says, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Once again, we get to see a great miracle that God provided with food. That when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, the land was barren. There was nothing that they could glean from the land to nourish them. And so every day, God provided them with manna. And this manna would perfectly nourished them. It gave them everything that they would need to wander in the wilderness. God provided for their needs. And Jesus reminds him, he says, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And Jesus is referring to himself. And he continues to reveal this about himself. And the people ask, "Sir, always give us this bread." And Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never, ever drive away." And so Jesus is talking about the fact that he is the bread of life, the living water that never ceases to quench our thirst, the true spiritual nourishment that our body so sorely needs, that because of our sin-sick soul, Jesus broke his body and he shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And so we are reminded that today is World Communion Sunday. That we are reminded that we are one church, that we are one body, united in our love of Jesus Christ. That churches the world over are gathering together at this holy table and receiving the bread and the cup. What an awesome thing for us to understand that Jesus is the bread of life. That when Jesus gathered his disciples together in an upper room, they partook in a simple meal of bread and wine. And Jesus expressed to them that the bread represents his body that was broken for the forgiveness of sins. And the cup represents his blood, the blood that was shed upon Calvary's cross. Jesus' blood that wiped away the stain of sin. That is what we celebrate. That is what we give honor to today. This meal is not just a memorial. This meal represents God's grace imparted upon our souls. That within this bread, and within this cup, we as United Methodists believe that the Holy Spirit is literally present in the bread and in the cup after it's blessed. That we can actually receive God's grace by merely partaking in this meal. You can receive God's powerful and justifying grace by partaking in this meal. What a special and amazing thing for us to understand. And so now I want us to go full circle. I want us to go back to Psalm number 34. That reminds us that we are to taste and see that the Lord is good. Those words ring so true and so powerfully today as we dine at this holy table. That as we come here to feast at this table of grace, we are reminded that we are to taste and see together that the Lord is good. To receive the living water. To receive the bread of life that nourishes us, sustains us, and heals our sin-sick soul. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come here in worship, and we come together at this table because we are called to taste and see that you alone, O God, are good. We are able to taste for ourselves the bread and the cup, that we feel the Holy Spirit's presence, that Jesus broke his body and he shed his blood to forgive us of our sins. And so as we feast at the table of grace this morning, may your Holy Spirit be more powerful and more present than ever. Oh Lord, may it convict us. May it fill us. May it change and transform our hearts. And so, oh Lord God, fill us all with your grace. Fill us all with your love. That through this bread, and through this cup, we get to taste and see that you, oh God, are so good. It is in Jesus' name that we all pray. Amen.